Coming up this half hour, Halloween tricks and tips. The ASPCA and Humane Society show us how to have a safe and fun Halloween with our pets. We have a special report from National Geographic that gives us an insight into how parrots learn to communicate. And we'll hear about how our pets help us with work-life balance in the age of COVID-19. We'll start with this. Your cat should be eating more pumpkin. That's what my veterinarian told me. And apparently, Gallant agrees in this article on Gallant.com. They say, your cat should be eating more pumpkin. Pumpkin is a superfood, or at least it's super delicious, right? This time of year, pumpkin is everywhere. People sell pumpkins out of the back of their pickup trucks. Your grocery store has them on sale for something like a dollar each. They're putting pumpkin in coffee, for goodness sakes. Should you be giving your cat more pumpkin? Pumpkin is great for cats. All basic jokes aside, pumpkin actually has a ton of excellent health benefits. It's chock full of fiber, which itself is great for your cat's digestive system, for preventing constipation, and even stopping diarrhea. Dietary fiber absorbs stomach acid and excess water and can actually help move any ingested fur through your cat's digestive tract. Pumpkin is also a great source of vitamin E, A, and C, and beta-carotene, in addition to other nutritious compounds. Because it's such a healthy food, it's a great way to supplement an overweight cat's diet. Replacing just 20% of her regular food can leave her feeling just as full, but with fewer calories. By far, the easiest way to incorporate more pumpkin into your cat's diet is by using canned pumpkin. Organic is nice to have, but what's most important is that you don't accidentally buy pumpkin pie filling, as it can contain extra sugar and some spices, like nutmeg, that can actually be harmful to your cat's health. You could, of course, always get a whole pumpkin, empty the seeds, cut it into chunks, then roast or steam it, but that's a lot of hassle. However you decide to prepare the pumpkin, don't add any extra seasonings like salt, sugar, or cinnamon. When you begin incorporating pumpkin or any new food into your cat's diet, do so slowly. Just 2 to 3 tablespoons is probably enough at first, and you don't want to shock your cat's system and give her an upset stomach. Over time, you can mix pumpkin into her regular food on a daily basis. Freeze it into pumpkin cubes to give as treats, or just offer it up as you feel like it. Your cat will let you know if she's not a fan. What other fall foods should cats eat? Glad you asked. Turns out squash of any variety, pumpkin is a squash, is pretty good food for cats. They've got tons of vitamins and a lot of fiber, not to mention fatty acids that are great for urinary and digestive health. Just make sure you cook squash first. Animals can't break down raw squash like we can. Other fall foods you can feel good about feeding your cat include apples, turkey, and peanut butter. As with anything, just be sure to choose foods without additives to be sure you're not giving your cat anything you didn't intend to. Next, Halloween is bound to take on a variety of different and less than usual forms these days. Whatever form it takes for you and your pets, the ASPCA has these Halloween safety tips. Halloween can be the spookiest night of the year, but keeping your pets safe doesn't have to be tricky. The ASPCA recommends taking these simple, common-sense precautions to keep your pet happy and healthy all the way to November 1st. Stash the treats. The candy bowl is for trick-or-treaters, not scruffy or fluffy. Several popular Halloween treats are toxic to pets. Chocolate in all forms, especially dark or baking chocolate, can be very dangerous for your cats and dogs, and sugar-free candies containing the sugar substitute xylitol can cause serious problems in pets. If you suspect your pet has ingested something toxic, please call your veterinarian or the ASPCA Poison Control Center at 888-426-4435 immediately. Watch the decorations and keep wires out of reach. While a carved jack-o'-lantern certainly is festive, pets can easily knock over a lit pumpkin and start a fire. Curious kittens are especially at risk of getting burned or singed by candle flame. Popular Halloween plants such as pumpkins and decorative corn are considered relatively non-toxic, but can produce stomach discomfort in pets who nibble on them. Be careful with costumes. For some pets, wearing a costume may cause undue stress. The ASPCA recommends that you don't put your dog or cat in a costume unless you know he or she loves it. If you do dress up your pet for Halloween, make sure the costume does not limit his or her movement, sight, or ability to breathe, bark, or meow. Check the costume carefully for small, dangling, or easily chewed off pieces that could present a choking hazard. Ill-fitting outfits can get twisted on external objects or your pet, leading to injury. Be sure to have your pet try on the costume before the big night. If he or she seems distressed or shows abnormal behavior, consider letting your pet wear his or her birthday suit or don a festive bandana instead. Keep pets calm and easily identifiable. Halloween brings a flurry of activities with visitors arriving at the door, and too many strangers can often be scary and stressful for pets. All but the most social dogs and cats should be kept in a separate room away from the front door during peak trick-or-treating hours. While opening the door for guests, be sure that your dog or cat doesn't dart outside. And always make sure your pet is wearing proper identification. If for any reason he or she does escape, a collar with ID tags and/or a microchip can be a lifesaver for a lost pet. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, Household Items That Can Make Your Dog Sick by Pet First Pet Insurance. We've heard a lot of these before, but they do bear repeating. Pet First Pet Insurance says, as the owner of a dog or puppy, keeping your furry friend healthy is one of your top priorities. But some owners don't understand the hidden pet health hazards in their own homes. The following are some of the most common items that could make your dog sick if consumed. Grapes. While you love munching these fruits on a summer day, refrain from sharing with your dog. Raisins and grapes can cause kidney failure if your dog eats them. Chocolate. Perhaps the most well-known food hazard for pups. Chocolate contains caffeine and theobromine, which are both toxic for your pooch. If they do consume chocolate by accident, call the veterinarian right away. Raw meat. Some owners justify giving their dogs raw meat due to the species' wild ancestry. However, today's domesticated pets do not have the same tolerance for raw meat. They're still able to contract salmonella poisoning like humans. Lawn chemicals. If you choose to treat your lawn with synthetic fertilizer, avoid letting your dog on the grass until the lawn company says you're in the clear. Synthetic fertilizer will make your animal sick if ingested, and it is not good for their paws either. Medications. Be sure to always keep your medications out of the reach of your dog. Eating your pills can be dangerous, damaging your pet's liver. Small toys. Just as you would keep small toys and objects off the floor when you have a small child, you should try to do the same for your dog. If they pick up one of these objects, they can choke or swallow them. Although some breeds are more likely to incur a foreign body ingestion than others, caution should be used with all dogs. Macadamia nuts. Another little-known hazard, these crunchy snacks are actually poisonous for your dog. So if you are eating them or using them for baking, keep them out of reach of your four-legged friend. Healthcare for pets is all about prevention. Pet owners in the United States spend about $13.59 billion on vet care annually, much of which could be avoided had the owners been more careful. For more specifics on how to prevent your dog or puppy from consuming hazardous foods and products, talk to your vet. And of course, get your pet to an animal care hospital or vet office if they're having a medical emergency. Next, should your dog hang her head out the window of a vehicle? This is also by Pet First Pet Insurance. Does your dog enjoy hanging his head out the window when you go for a ride in the car? Many dogs do. Although this may look cute and your pup may enjoy it, it actually presents several potential dangers to your dog. Let's break down why dogs do this, how it can be dangerous, and whether or not it's safe to allow your pet to do so. Why do dogs hang their heads out the window? According to zoologist Chris Daniels, dogs enjoy sticking their head out the window because it helps them smell better. Dogs have a much stronger sense of smell than we do, and when they put their head out the car window, air washes over them at a high speed, creating a pleasurable sensory overload. Dogs enjoy smelling new scents, and sticking their head out of a car window makes it easier to take everything in. Potential dangers. The first is fall risk. The most obvious potential danger if your dog sticks his head out of the window is that he may fall out of the car. This is especially true for small dogs. The smaller your dog is, the more easily they'd be able to tumble through that space between the window and the top of the car. If your dog falls out of the car, he or she could be seriously injured or not survive at all. Flying debris. Your dog may get injured by flying debris while sticking their head out of the window. There's a reason our cars have windshields to protect us from the dirt, dust, insects, rocks, and other objects that might be floating in the air. When you're going 60 miles an hour, even a small rock can do big damage. You don't want your dog to get injured by whatever your car is kicking up. Your dog is also at risk of hitting an object that's outside the car. And if you're in a wreck, your dog might be crushed between two cars. Ear damage. Yet another potentially dangerous outcome is that your dog's ear tissue might become damaged. Your dog might look cute with his ears blowing in the wind, but repeated wind can actually cause damage to the flaps of your dog's ears. Over time, the ears can become more and more damaged. So then, should you let your dog hang their head out the window? Your dog might enjoy hanging his head out the window to enjoy all of the smells and to get a better view of all of the sights and sounds. However, as a responsible pet owner, it's your job to keep your dog safe. And if your dog is hanging his head out of the window, that may put your pup in a dangerous situation. Can my dog sit in my lap in the car? It might seem like a good alternative to hold your dog in your lap while you drive, but this is not safe either. It's highly distracting for you as the driver to have a pet sitting on your lap. In the case of a crash, your dog might be thrown out of the windshield or injured by the airbag deploying. A small dog might also cause an accident by jumping down onto the floor while you're trying to use the gas and brake pedals. Can my dog ride in the back of my truck? If you have a pickup truck, you might be tempted to let your dog ride in the back of the truck. However, this is not a good idea either. Similarly to the dangers of sticking his head out the window, your dog might fall out, become injured by flying debris, or sustain ear damage from the wind. They could also suffer heat stroke and/or the metal truck bed could burn their paws. It's not a good idea to let your dog ride in the back of a pickup truck. If that's your only option, however, American Humane advises that you put your dog inside a crate and secure the crate to the walls of the truck bed. How should my dog ride in the car? Traffic safety experts say that it's not safe for your dog to move freely around your car. So if your dog shouldn't hang its head out the window, sit in your lap, or move around the car while you drive, how should your dog ride in the car? The New York Times recommends using a travel harness to secure your dog in the back seat. You could also purchase a travel carrier that straps into place, ensuring your dog won't go flying in the case of an accident. When driving with your dog, it is important that you make sure they stay secured in the back seat. That way, they'll be safe and you won't be distracted. And if you're worried that your dog is missing out on the full experience of taking a ride in the car, safely crack the windows very slightly so your dog can smell the fresh air from a safe distance. Taking safety precautions while driving with your dog in the car is an essential part of being a responsible pet owner. Next, from Gallant.com, how animals help with work-life balance during the pandemic. Achieving work-life balance during the pandemic is easier said than done. Luckily, our dogs and other pets can be incredibly supportive throughout these trying times. Below, we'll dive into some of the many ways animals can help with work-life balance during the pandemic. The first is daily exercise. With the advent of remote work, it can be difficult to find a reason to venture outdoors. Luckily, Fido is quick to remind you when you need a breath of fresh air. A simple walk can work wonders for stress management, which is essential throughout a busy work week. Dog owners are also more likely to meet their daily exercise quotas than non-pet owners. Regular exercise helps you lower your blood pressure, reduce your risk of developing cardiovascular disease, and improves your quality of life. Your pooch can be the push you need to get moving in between Zoom meetings. Social butterflies. While you still have to maintain a proper distance, having an animal at home can help you get your daily dose of social interaction with the outside world. Every dog owner knows that having a cute pooch automatically makes you the most popular person in the neighborhood. On your daily strolls with Spot, you're likely to see others admiring from afar, giving you something easy to talk about. Our dogs are amazing social butterflies that can, in turn, help us become more socially connected to our neighborhood. Even if it's just a friendly wave at the dog park, small interactions between other pet lovers can really add up over time, giving your day structure. One of the most challenging aspects of the pandemic is the lack of structure. We're all tasked with working, sleeping, and relaxing in the same space, which is much easier said than done. This lack of structure can make it difficult to stay productive or motivated, especially when it comes to the work week. Fortunately, Fido's needs stay the same during these trying times. Our animals still need to have their meals, enjoy playtime, and go for walks at relatively the same time every day. While this isn't always the easiest thing to balance, the sense of structure is exactly what we need to achieve work-life balance during the pandemic. We ought to thank our furry friends for keeping us motivated. They provide companionship. Work-life balance can be incredibly hard to achieve in the age of COVID-19 since there isn't a hard stop to your workday. Though working from home poses numerous benefits, it can make it all the more difficult when it comes to finding time to unwind. Our four-footers provide endless companionship, giving us the license to kick back and relax with our caring canines. They can also offer hours of indoor entertainment when you've exhausted your nightly Netflix binge. You can use the extra time at home to teach Fido a new trick or work in an extra game of fetch, further solidifying your bond. Dogs and other pets can also understand our needs for companionship unlike any other. If you've had a tough day at work, your pooch is right by your side, ready to offer lots of sloppy puppy kisses. Living through these difficult times is challenging for everyone, but having a loving best buddy on your team can help you stay focused and grounded and reconnect with your furry friend. While these are hard times for humans, it may feel like an absolute field day for Fido. After all, your dog's human best friend is home more often. What's not to love? Work-life balance during the pandemic can be incredibly difficult to achieve. However, it's a lot easier to manage when you have a wagging tail waiting for you when you finish. Take this time to reconnect with your furry friend and truly appreciate all the love and companionship they bring to your life. According to their website, the Gallant Team is a collective of veterinarians, scientists, and entrepreneurs whose mission is to advance the field of stem cell medicine and bring its life-changing treatments to pets everywhere. You can find them at gallant.com. That's gallant.com. Next, why are parrot species in decline? Highly intelligent and sociable parrots are arguably the most popular pet birds, but they face dangers because of the pet trade and habitat destruction, making them among the most threatened species of birds. National Geographic's Erica Tennenhouse gives us some insight into how parrots learn to communicate with each other in this article published September 18, 2020. These parrots developed new dialects in captivity. Can their wild kin understand them? Captive breeding saved the Gabby birds from extinction, but it also changed their way of communicating, raising a concern for their future. Today, the squawks, shrieks, and whistles of parrots reverberate through the rainforests of Puerto Rico. But a few decades ago, these sounds almost disappeared. Deforestation had taken its toll on Puerto Rican parrots. Before European colonization in the 1500s, their population was estimated at 1 million. By the 1970s, as few as 13 Puerto Rican parrots were left in the wild, confined to one of the island's only remaining forest patches, the El Yunque. In a last-ditch effort to pull the species back from extinction, conservationists began to breed the parrots in captivity. It was a successful gambit. Though the chatty emerald green birds are still considered critically endangered, today more than 600 exist. Now there may be a new threat to their survival. Conservationists say captive parrots have developed an entirely new dialect, a phenomenon that has not been observed before in other captive bird populations, says study leader Tanya Martinez, a conservation biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Puerto Rican Parrot Recovery Program. Around 2013, Martinez, then a master's student at the University of Puerto Rico, began to notice that the Puerto Rican parrots didn't all sound alike. If you would go into the El Yunque forest to work with the wild population, it would almost sound like a different species from the captive birds, says Martinez, whose paper appeared recently in the journal Animal Behavior. Curious to learn more, she eavesdropped on all four parrot populations in existence, two wild and two captive, and recorded them. What she heard confirmed her suspicion. The vocalizations were not the same from one population to the other. The potential language barrier is a concern, says Timothy Wright, a biologist at New Mexico State University, who wasn't involved in the research. To be successfully reintroduced, he says, parrots must be able to rely on communication with their peers, particularly to strengthen relationships in their individual communities. If you can't indicate to others that you're part of the group, you might not gain the benefits of being part of that group, like joining flocks to evade predators and working together to find food, Wright says. Growing population. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service established the first flock of captive-born Puerto Rican parrots in 1973, not far from the secluded territory of the wild resident parrots of El Yunque. With the wild population so depleted, the scientists got creative. They brought closely related Hispaniolan parrots, which were relatively plentiful in their native countries of Haiti and the Dominican Republic, to Puerto Rico, and put them to work as surrogate parents raising Puerto Rican parrot chicks. The program was successful. By 2006, there were four Puerto Rican parrot populations, a captive flock in El Yunque, one captive and one in reintroduced flock in Rio Abajo State Forest, and the remaining original wild flock in El Yunque. After recording all four populations in the field, Martinez converted more than 800 hours of bird recordings to visual displays called spectrograms. She and her supervisor, David Logue, now at the University of Lethbridge in Canada, grouped the calls according to similarity. They focused on the two most common calls, the caw and the chi, that flock members exchange to keep in contact with each other. The research revealed that captive birds make caw and chi calls with at least two different syllables, while the wild El Yunque birds make entirely different calls, essentially a single syllable on repeat. being exposed from an early age to the Hispaniolan parrot calls while being separated from their elders of their own species likely set the stage for the captive-raised birds to develop new vocalizations, Martinez says. But the vocal changes didn't end there. The study also found that each subsequent time the conservationists broke the birds off into new groups, tiny innovations crept into their calls. The captive Rio Abajo group began to sound distinct from its captive parrot flock in El Yunque, and after the Rio Abajo captive birds were released into the Rio Abajo forest, the calls changed again. As it turns out, Martinez completed her research just in time. In 2017, just after she had finished her recordings, tragedy struck the El Yunque forest. Hurricane Maria killed the entire flock of approximately 50 wild parrots. This was the last refuge of the wild parrot, she said. If it hadn't been for this forest, this species would have gone extinct. But now it's preserved in the captive and reintroduced flocks whose forebears were taken from that forest nearly 50 years ago. Language tutors. Changes in vocalizations can impact parrot behavior, says Wright, who studies Costa Rica's yellow-naped Amazons, another parrot species. When he experimentally transplanted several parrots into the population with an unfamiliar dialect, the younger birds quickly learned the new lingo, but the older birds failed to master it, he says. Adults didn't seem to want to learn the new dialect. They just hung out with birds with the same dialect. While some Puerto Rican parrots have acquired a new dialect after being transferred to a different population, not all of the birds have a knack for it, notes Will Thomas White, a wildlife biologist who has worked with the Puerto Rican Parrot Recovery Program for more than 20 years. It's just like humans learning a foreign language. Some people pick it up much quicker and easier than others, White says. So, to help the captive birds pick up the wild vocalizations, the recovery program is turned to reintroduce parrots to serve as tutors. Birds scheduled for release into the El Yunque forest first spend a period of time at a site where they can watch, listen to, and learn from their soon-to-be peers. Conservationists have also stopped using Hispaniolan parrots as surrogates, now that there are enough Puerto Rican parrots to raise their own chicks. And earlier this year, the team released 30 captive parrots into the El Yunque forest to replace the population that died during the hurricane. Their dialects, though not quite the same, will again fill the forest with a cacophony of parrot calls. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment.